for reports by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After his birth, he began to cry. O destiny maker, teacher of the universe, kindly designate my name and place. Translation responsibly. After his birth, he began to cry.
After his birth, he began to cry.
O destiny maker.
O destiny maker.
Teacher of the universe.
Teacher of the universe.
Kindly designate my name and place. Text 9. The all-powerful Brahma, who was born from the lotus flower, pacified the boy with gentle words, accepting his request, and said, "Do not cry. I shall certainly do as you desire." Thereafter Brahma said, "O chief of the demigods, you shall be called by the name Rudra by all people because you have so anxiously cried. My dear boy, I have already selected the following places for your residence: the heart, the senses, the air of life, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity." Purport. The creation of Rudra from between the eyebrows of Brahma as the result of his anger generated from the mode of passion, partly touched by ignorance, is very significant. In Bhagavad Gita 3:37, the principle of Rudra is described. Krodha, anger, is the product of karma, lust, which is the result of the mode of passion. When lust and hankering are unsatisfied, the element of Krodha appears, which is the formidable enemy of the conditioned soul. The most sinful and inimical passion is represented as ahankara, or the false egocentric attitude of thinking oneself to be all in all. Such an egocentric attitude on the part of the conditioned soul, who is completely under the control of material nature, is described in Bhagavad Gita as foolish. The egocentric attitude is a manifestation of the Rudra principle in the heart, wherein krodha, anger, is generated. This anger develops in the heart and is further manifested through the various senses like the eyes, hands, and legs. When a man is angry, he expresses such anger with red-hot eyes and sometimes makes a display of clenching his fists or kicking his legs. This exhibition of the Rudra principle is the proof of Rudra's presence in such places. When a man is angry, he breathes very rapidly, and thus Rudra is represented in the air of life or in the activities of breathing. When the sky is overcast with dense clouds and roars in anger, and when the wind blows very fiercely, the Rudra principle is manifested. And so also when the seawater is infuriated by the wind, it appears in a gloomy feature of Rudra, which is very fearful to the common man. When fire is ablaze, we can also experience the presence of Rudra. And when there is an inundation over the earth, we can understand that this is also the representation of Rudra. There are many earthly creatures who constantly represent the Rudra element. The snake, tiger, and lion are always representations of Rudra. Sometimes, because of the extreme heat of the sun, there are cases of heat stroke. And due to the extreme coldness created by the moon, there are cases of collapse. There are many sages empowered with the influence of austerity, and many yogis, philosophers, and renouncers who sometimes exhibit their acquired power under the influence of the Rudra principles of anger and passion. The great yogi Durvasa, under the influence of this Rudra principle, picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish, and a Brahmana boy exhibited the Rudra principle by cursing the great king, Parikshit. When the Rudra principle is exhibited by persons who are not engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the angry person falls down from the peak of his improved position. This is confirmed as follows. The most lamentable fall down of the impersonalist is due to his false and unreasonable claim of being one with the Supreme. Omagyan tamanam dasya ginam jina shalakaya chakshurin malitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamaya tadati swapatam tikam pancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhu pi eva cha pititinam pavane Nebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasa Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're talking about Rudra. Rudra means Shiva. So Lord Shiva is partial incarnation of Krishna. In his original form, he's called Sadashiva. Sadashiva means in Vaikuntha. When you have the first canto of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto you see the universe and you see the entire creation. So the topmost planet, and you see that on the front cover of the Bhagavatam, is Goloka Vrindavan. It's like a lotus flower. Actually, the whole planet is like a lotus flower. Just like a flower, a lotus flower, it can expand and contract. So the whole planet of Goloka expands and contracts according to Krishna's desires. It is conscious. It is a perfect servant of Krishna. Goloka itself is a expansion of Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is said to be the supreme personality of server to Godhead. So the whole Goloka planet is an expansion of Balaram, which means it's meant to serve Krishna. So there are 12 forests in Vrindavan. So Krishna may want to travel from the different forests. So Kamyavan is on like the far western portion. And like on the far side, there would be Mahavan, for example, which is like on the far eastern portion. So Krishna may, just like these days, if you're in Vrindavan, if you want to go from one side to the other, you know, it's 84 square miles, it'll take you all day, practically, to get from one side to the other in a bus. And if you walk, it will take a few days. So if Krishna wants to go like from one place to another by his desire, the whole planet, it contracts, just like a flower contracts. Krishna can move wherever he wants, and then it comes back out again. So it's constantly moving according to Krishna's desire. So that is the Goloka planet. So you see on the front cover of the Bhagavatam, that is the Goloka planet. That is the topmost place in the spiritual sky. And that's where Krishna resides in his original form. You find God in his original form. So you see on the front cover, you see Radha and Krishna, gopis, and then you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Mayapur or Navadvipa simultaneously, Swetadvipa simultaneously in that area, like in parallel dimensions somehow. They reside in the same place. And then, when you look at the cover, then you see all the Vaikuntha planets. So the Vaikuntha planets, they are all around, and they're much smaller. So if you put all of the Vaikuntha planets together, Goloka is still larger. The Goloka planet, or the original planet of Krishna, is bigger than the rest of the spiritual world. So all those, they're not small. I mean, they're so big we can't even estimate how big they are. But those planets are like little small planets surrounding the Goloka planet. In the Brahman effulgence, which is the Brahma Jyoti, which is the spiritual sky, which is the spiritual world. So there are unlimited, practically, of those Vaikuntha planets. And Krishna expands himself in Narayan forms to occupy all of those different planets. You see on the front canto of the Bhagavatam, you'll see there are different planets and the different names of the different 16 principal. But, you know, there's unlimited planets practically. And then there is the Mahatattva. Then you see, like, off in the distance, there's like this cloud. It's like a cloud in the spiritual sky. Like if you're in Goloka, if you're in the spiritual world, you'll see something that's like a cloud kind of up there in the sky. That's the material world. That's the Mahatattva. That's where we are right now. We're in this cloud. It's just a small portion. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakura says it's 1/4 of God's creation. 3/4 is the spiritual world, 1/4 is the material world. Actually, the spiritual world is unlimited, so you can't measure it, but he's just giving us an idea that where we are now is just partial. It's not the entirety. It's not the most important place. So, on the outskirts of the Vaikuntha realm, then the outermost planets in the Vaikuntha realm, that is where Sadashiva lives. Sadashiva means it is Shiva, but he is Narayan. He's Narayan who has a form of like Shiva. So he's called Sadashiva. That is the original form. So actually the original form of Shiva is God himself. He's Narayan. But when Mahavishnu expands into this material world, enters into the Mahatattva, the material creation, and then Mahavishnu, he glances at the pradhan or the material energy, then his glance is carried by Shambhu, which means an expansion of the original Shiva. So Shiva expands himself and then he carries the glance and Mahavishnu, he impregnates pradhan or the material energy by his glance. Just he looks and then she becomes impregnated. She comes to life. Pradhan is dormant. It means all the material energy in a homogeneous state, and there is no differentiation between earth, water, fire, air, ether, and all the different elements. They're just all kind of like clay. It's all mixed together. So it's just one kind of element. And then he glances in, and as he glances all of us, the living entities, into the material energy. And then we go in there with time, the time factor. And as we enter, then everything emanates, and then everything generates, and creation takes place. And suddenly this material world creates. So who carries the glance? That is called Shambhu, that is Shiva. So Shiva expands himself to carry the glance. So because he touches the material energy, it is said that he becomes altered or transformed. And Lord Brahma explains it to us perfectly and very easily in the Brahma Samhita. That you put something in the milk, just like in the old days. Prabhupada explains in Vrindavan, if you go back 5,000 years when Krishna was on the planet, they milk the cows, and then they put all the milk in big, like woks, like big pans, huge. So they put all the milk in, and then during the day, Prabhupada said, people can go and take the milk. Any time of the day, you can just go and get a warm milk. It's just sitting there on the fire all day. And at the end of the day, what we don't use, then Prabhupada said, they add some tamarind or some lemon juice or something, some souring agent, and then that turns into yogurt, dahi, right? And then we take it into other things. Then we churn it, right? And we make charch, and then you get buttermilk. And then you get ghee, like that. And different transformations. It transforms into so many different types of food stuff. And then Prabhupada says, this is the best food, Ayurveda says, the best food of all is milk. And that's a big problem right now on the planet. It's one of the biggest problems we face in the world right now. Is that milk is the best food, and Prabhupada said we're meant to drink it, and the Ayurveda says we're meant to drink it, and yet all the milk is contaminated because all the cows are sent to be slaughtered. So it's a huge problem. It's almost like an unsolvable problem until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious and there's ahimsa milk everywhere. It's a massive problem. I saw one documentary very recently, the best documentary I've ever seen. It's called Cowspiracy. Has anyone seen it? Okay, everyone should see this documentary. If you want to understand what's going on this planet right now and how Kali Yuga operates, you have to see this documentary, because I didn't really understand what's going on in the world right now. But when you see this documentary, you understand why the world is going the way it's going. Right? Everything is to do with the cow. Everything. Right? People don't understand it. It's all to do with the cow. Cow slaughter and like that, and that's all the whole world. That's all the problems in the world are coming from this one place. And who was saying that the whole time? Prabhupada. It's all coming from one place. The cows are being slaughtered. So they would take this milk, they would turn it into yogurt. So Brahma says that is like Shiva, Shambhu. Right? You take milk, he's God, he's Narayan in his original form, Sadashiva, but because he touches the material energy, then he becomes transformed, it becomes like dahi, milk becomes dahi. So then Sadashiva becomes Shambhu or Shiva, and he becomes transformed. And then now he's something different. That's why he has his own tattva. We have jiva tattva. What is jiva tattva? That's us. We are called jiva tattva. And how are we defined? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in different places, how are we defined?
How would you define yourself? What are you?
Krishna answered that. Yeah, very good. Yeah, we're Krishna's eternal servants, but there's other definition. What is the jiva? What sort of shakti is he? Tatashta. Tatashta means? Marginal. Just like the beach, just over there, just behind us, is a beach. That is tatashta. Right? Sometimes it is covered by the water, sometimes it is uncovered. So we are tatashta, which means sometimes we're covered by the material energy, and sometimes we're uncovered. Just like today. Sometimes you're covered, and sometimes you're uncovered. Just like right now. Sometimes you're covered, sometimes you're uncovered. And I look at you, and you're looking at me like... Tatashta. That's when you know you're giving a good class, when everyone's going... It's called tatashta. And you're covered. So sometimes material energy comes in and... Oh, wait a minute. Like that. It doesn't happen in my class so much because I point it out when it's happening. That's why it doesn't happen so much. Because I just keep looking at the person. And if they keep doing it, I say something. I say, stand up. I'll go and take rest. If you're tired, take rest. It's actually aparad to sleep in the Bhagavad Gita class. It's an offense. You know, if you're tired, just go to bed. I mean, you know, we give you beds. So go there and take rest. But don't sleep here. You know, so if you're in front of the deities, it says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha Nectar, if you sleep in front of the deities, that's aparad. Yeah? Oh, what's that? That's God. You know, wake, understand who it is. Yeah, you know, it's like sometimes devotees, like they stick their head in the door to see, you know, they're looking for someone. And they think because, you know, my feet are still outside, I'm not in the temple, I don't have to offer my obeisances. You know, devotee, you see them do it. You know, put your head in and kind of look around. Hare Krishna. Yeah, that's God. That is God. You know, we're supposed to be enraptured. Whenever we see him, we're supposed to swoon in ecstasy. People faint when they see him. Hey, Lord Chaitanya would see Jagannath, and what happened? He ran in the temple, and they finally saw him, and he just went, just collapsed on the ground. And they came with sticks, and I'm going to beat Lord Chaitanya. And Sarvabhauma said, don't touch him. And then he came and he examined it. He said, no, this is genuine. Because people sometimes, they just do that. They, you know, do the whole fall over thing. One time in Vrindavan, people were doing that. They opened the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, and people were doing that, coming during the aarti, and they roll on the floor. Oh, Krishna, Krishna. Right on the floor. So they told Prabhupada, what do we do? Prabhupada said, kick them in the head. So then one devotee went in, you know, during the aarti, when someone's rolling along, he just went up and bang, kicked them in the head. Right? So a big fight broke out, you know, everyone jumped, yeah, and then outside and everything like that. So they got back to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I wasn't being serious. You know, not like literally kick them in the head. I mean, like, you know, you don't kick someone in the head, but... The point is, we should not sleep in front of the deities like that. So, so Lord Shiva, he is the transformation. He is Shambhu, which means he has his own tattva. We are jiva tattva. We are tatashta shakti, which means we're marginal. Sometimes we're covered by Maya, sometimes we're uncovered by Maya. That's our position. Even Revati Nandan, Prabhu, who was a Swami back when Prabhupada was on the planet, he said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it possible that, because Krishna says in the Gita, that if you return to the spiritual world, you will not come back again. No? But Prabhupada explains the reason we came here in the first place is because we misused our independence. So Revati Nandan, Prabhu, he said to Prabhupada, he said, is it possible to come back again? And Prabhupada thought about it. He said, it is possible. Because nothing is impossible. It is possible. And Prabhupada said, it does not happen. And Prabhupada said, once burnt, twice shy. And you only touch fire once in your life. You know, when you're a kid, you touch the fire and like that. You don't do it again. You don't just keep going up and just keep going like that. It's like, it's once. So once we enter the material energy, once we get out again, then if we ever start thinking again, because sometime we might think in eternity, we might think, oh, I'll go and do it again. And then as soon as we think that, then Krishna gives us darshan. Remember last time? And we go, whoa. No, thank you. And we stay there. Krishna lets us come this time because, you know, he says, okay, you go. That is your prerogative if you want. Because tatashta means, we are marginal, means we have independence. First verse of Bhagavatam says Swarat. Krishna is independent. He can do whatever he wants. So he gives us a little bit of independence. You know, I can do, to a degree, I can do, you know, I have a bit of free will. But I'm not unlimited. I can't do whatever I want. Right? I can't just, you know, start levitating now and fly. And then just, you know, fly off and fly to Gopal's, you know, grab a couple of samosas and then fly back. And then I can't do that. Right? Some people say they can do these things. But our independence is minute. Whereas Krishna can do whatever he wants. Right? Krishna can just say samosa. There is samosa. Just like Lord Chaitanya, you read in the Chaitanya Bhagavad. Lord Chaitanya, he took one seed or pip of the mango and he put it in the ground, and then in front of everyone's eyes, the mango tree grew. Right? And all the mangoes manifested. And it says the mangoes were so big, each one was big enough for 12 men. And it says, each mango, there was no skin and there was no seed. And devotees were dancing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And when everyone was exhausted, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, take prasad. Take those mangoes. Krishna, Krishna. Everyone had mango feast. When everyone was satisfied, Lord Chaitanya, now that everyone watched, he said, now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then again, this is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Dancing, chanting, and feasting. That's it. And you go back to Godhead. That's his whole movement. Do you know that devotee, Murari Chaitanya Prabhu? From up in Brisbane. He came here for Prabhupada for the 40th anniversary. He's a Filipino devotee, my godbrother. You know him? Some of you know him. He's an old devotee. So he's a great Sankirtan devotee. He's very powerful in Sankirtan. He can do Kirtan. Me and him used to do Kirtan for like hours and hours. So he told me he's from the Philippines. He said when he did Kirtan in the Philippines, when he was a brahmachari, he said they would start at 4:30 for the Sunday feast. They must have had the class first or something. I can't remember how the program, but they start like 4:30 and the kirtan would go to about 8:30. You know, 4 hours kirtan. And they were playing Vrindangas. Hare Krishna, Filipino devotees. You know, they dance and they chant and they're like, you know, powerful kirtan. And he said, because in the Philippines it's so humid, everyone was just sweaty. And he said it was like, you know, he said after an hour in the kirtan, it was like you were in the shower. You know, it's like your dhoti was wet and everything was wet and everyone was like, Hare Krishna. So he said what they do, they just all take turns. You know, give the mridanga to someone, run over to the ashram, take bath, put on another dhoti and come back and then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and just keep going. That was the program. And that is our program. That's Lord Chaitanya's program. Dancing, chanting, and feasting. Bhakrishwara Pandit, who is one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya, it is said that when he did kirtan, sometimes he would dance for 72 hours non-stop. What sort of a kirtan is that? 72 hours, non-stop, Vakrashwara Pandit. And Lord Chaitanya said, if I had another Vakrashwara Pandit, if I had another wing, like Vakrashwara Pandit, I could fly. If I had someone else who could dance like that, I could fly. He's so ecstatic. So we are tatashta shakti, which means sometimes we're in the material energy and sometimes we're in the spiritual energy. And that's our choice. One time, that was 1972, I think. I think it was Prabhupada's first Vyasa Puja, I think, in 1972 in New Vrindavan. And they had Vyasa Puja, and Prabhupada gave a lecture. And at the end of the lecture, Prabhupada said, any questions? So, it was, you know, it's a few hundred people are there. And at the back, there was one person. He was like, you know, becoming a devotee or something. Kind of like hippie, but kind of like becoming a devotee. They used to call them fringes. Kind of like, you know, on the fringe. Kind of like becoming a devotee. So Prabhupada said, any questions? You know, so he put his hand up. And he said, I can't remember exactly the way it said, but the effect was that he said, why is Maya so powerful? You ever feel like that? Hands up if you know what I'm talking about here tonight. Oh my God. Okay. So why is my so powerful? And you ever wake up in the morning and think, why is my so powerful? You know, it's like, but that's you. She's so powerful. Prabhupada said, she is not powerful. You are insincere. She is not powerful. Maya is not powerful. We're not sincere. That's the bottom line. We don't want to get out of Maya. You know, we go in front of the deities. Oh, you know. That's like, you know, in your pockets you've got all this stuff. You know, like, oh, Krishna, I give you everything, but not this. Not that. You know, not this. You know, Krishna's like, so what's, he's saying to Radharani, so what's behind the back? You know, what's there? Like that. You know, we hold on to the anartas. We hold on to the attachments. Anarta means an unwanted thing. Anarta literally means an invaluable thing. All the thing, if you analyze what you're attached to, it has no value. Right? There's no value. All of your attachments in this world, anything you're attached to in this world, it's not valuable. It has no value. But we are attached to it. Now, that is called arnata. So as long as we're attached to those things, we cannot enter the spiritual world. So Prabhupada said, we are insincere. We're not serious about going back to the spiritual world. Prabhupada, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but it was something to that effect. He either said, you are not serious, or you're insincere, but he put it back on us. The problem is us. The problem is not anything else. It's not Krishna. Krishna hasn't got a problem. Right? Man proposes, God disposes. That's all it is. Krishna didn't put us in Maya. We wanted to be in Maya, and Krishna was so nice and so accommodating. He said, okay, I'll give you a universe. Right? Didn't just give you a block of land. You know, go and enjoy yourself there. He gave you a whole universe. Brahmanda Brahmiti, Korna Bhagyamana Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai. But you can just wander around this whole universe. Do whatever you want. Go. Have fun. And when you're ready, you come back. I'm ready. Krishna does not have a problem. Maya doesn't have a problem. Right? She doesn't want us to stay here. Now, she wants us to go back to Krishna. But we don't want to go back. So we are called Tatashta. Tatashta means marginal. We can be in Maya, we can be in the spiritual energy. Mahatmanas tumam parta. Daivin prakriti. Ashrutaha. Ashraya means you take shelter. The great souls, the intelligent people, they're taking shelter of Daivi prakriti, the internal energy, devotional service, that's what it means. But the unintelligent, they take shelter of Maya. So it's our choice. Do you want to serve Krishna today or do you want to be in Maya today? We'll do both. You watch all day, we'll do both. We'll serve Krishna, but then we'll be in Maya, but we'll serve Krishna, and we'll be in Maya. We'll do it all day. Because that's our position. Until we become fixed up and we make actual advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we are called Tatashta Shakti. No? But then there's another Shakti, no? Or another energy, another tattva, and that is called Shiva tattva. Lord Shiva has his own category. He's not God. When he comes into this, he is God originally in Sadashiva, but when he comes into the material world, he's not God, and he's not the Jiva. He's something in between. So we have his own category called Shiva Tattva, which means something in between. And if you read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, describes, he has 55 of the qualities of God. There's certain things he does not have. Right? It doesn't say that unlimited universes come from his pores. It says he cannot grant liberation. It says different things like this. There are certain qualities he does not have. Only Narayan has these qualities. And then Krishna has a few more, four further qualities. So he's in his own category. So it says here that he has been created. How did he become created? From the forehead of Brahma. Brahma became angry. And then Lord Shiva manifested in it. That's how he came into this world. So he is in charge of the mode of ignorance. One of his names is Tamasi. Tamasi means in charge of the mode of ignorance. He is transcendental. This is very important to understand. Lord Shiva is transcendental. Even though he's in charge of the mode of ignorance, right, he is not controlled by the mode of ignorance. He's not affected by it. Even though he puts all the ashes on the body and wears the skulls around the neck, right, and has the snakes coming out and the dreadlocks and the half moon, sometimes smokes some ganja, right, and you know, many things, all these tamasic kind of things, walks through the crematoriums and all these things. So he, even though he does these things, we're not affected by it. No, we are not like that. No, we're very affected by the modes of material nature. But Lord Shiva, he is in charge of it. No? So here he is said to be in charge specifically. he is in charge of the mode of anger. Anger is a manifestation of the mode of ignorance or tamagun. If you're angry a lot, does anyone have anger management issues? A couple of honest people? Good, very good. Krishna will bless you for your honesty. This is a very important point in spiritual life. If you cannot be honest, you cannot make advancement. If you cannot say, yes, I am like this, you don't make advancement. If you cannot recognize your faults, you cannot make advancement. It's an important point in spiritual life. You can go on for years. You know, you can even be an advanced devotee, you can even be a good devotee. But if you don't admit or understand what your actual problems are, you don't progress properly. You don't transcend the material energy. You have to admit. And if you can't admit it, Krishna will admit it for you. He'll do it all for you. So either work it out yourself, or Krishna will work it out. Krishna will say, okay, listen, you've been doing this for 45 years now. Right? Are you ready or not? You say, yeah, I am. I really want to. And Krishna says, okay, well, if you're not going to do this, I'll take everything right now. And he does that at different stages in our life. He takes everything from us. He just, or he pulls the carpet out from under you. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, you're walking, suddenly the carpet kind of goes, I've never had someone actually pull it. I don't think. Maybe I have. Someone just pulls the carpet. I've walked sometime, the carpet kind of slips and just takes off, and you just go, like that. So Krishna does that to you periodically. And what is that called?
Mercy.
Yeah, it's called mercy. It's kripa. When Krishna does that to you, it's mercy. You fall flat on your face, and everyone sees, in front of everyone, all the devotees, you're made to be a fool, and everyone sees that actually you're a fool in front of all the devotees, and Krishna just keeps smiling. Krishna is like, it's good. It's what you need at this point in time. So when we advance more, we actually appreciate these situations. When we become more advanced in Krishna consciousness and more sincere, when Krishna begins to dismantle the false ego, we actually appreciate it. We don't resist it so much. You know, it's painful, but we can see this is beneficial for me. This is helping me come to Krishna. It's his mercy. So, Lord Shiva, he is in charge of anger. So, where does anger come from? Prabhupada explains in this purport, it comes from unsatisfied desire. Kama esha, krodha esha. Krodha or anger is known as kama nuj. Kama nuj means the follower of kama or lust or desire. If you have a desire and you cannot fulfill it, you become angry. And this is how we understand it. If you become angry, if you've got an anger management problem, it means your desires are frustrated. And as we said in the class last week, it's important to satisfy your desires. It's important in this material world. You have to satisfy your material desires. Otherwise, you'll get to the end of your life and you'll have to take birth again because they're not satisfied. So you have to satisfy them, but in a regulated way. You can't just say, okay, you know, now I can satisfy them. Just run down to, you know, St. Kilda and just satisfy your desires, or go down to 7-Eleven and just, you know, get whatever you want, or go to the ice cream shop and just buy all the ice creams. But you have to satisfy your desires, but in a regulated way. If you don't, you become frustrated. Just like Prabhupada says, when you join the Hare Krishna movement, for the first 6 months you can eat as much as you want so that you waddle like a duck. Because you know, when you first join, your senses are so disturbed, you have to pacify them. The only way to pacify them is by prasadam. So Prabhupada said you can have as much as you want, so you waddle like a duck. Just take as much, just satisfy your desires. I did it for 9 months. Supposed to do it for 6, but I went a little bit further. And after 9 months I thought, well, I'm going to start controlling myself. Very hard to in this temple, actually. This temple, especially back then when I joined, there wasn't as many devotees. You know, what do we have for breakfast? It was this Mahaprasad. We used to go on Harinam on Friday night. We'd come back on Friday night, and all the brahmacharis, we go, you know where the boga room is now? That was like a second prasadam hall. We had that one, and that was the second one. That was actually for the Matajis, that one. I mean, it used to be at the Matajis when I first joined. So we come back on Friday night after the Harinam, get the whole 9 o'clock offering and take it in there like four brahmacharis, and we'd eat the whole thing. Whole thing. And we used to take a vow and say, we're not leaving until it's finished. But we do it every time, every Friday night. I was ecstatic. I loved it. It was so good. I love this movement. Just go out and dance and chant, Hare Krishna, all over Melbourne, like madmen. We just sweat, you know, just like Hare Krishna, Saffron Brahmacharya, just dancing down Bourke Street Mall. Hare Krishna, Remember one time, Prabhav, anyone know Prabhav? Prabhav, the great Mridanga player, famous Mridanga player. Many devotees wouldn't know him now, but he lives in Hong Kong now. But he's he's Bengali. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada when he was 12 years old. Right? And he's one of the best Mridanga players in ISKCON. Used to be. I mean, now he's 50 or something, so maybe a bit older, yeah, maybe 55 or something. He's still pretty young, but he's a powerful Mridanga player. I mean, he used to be like another level. It was just this other level of Mridanga. You have to see it to just boom, boom, boom. It's just powerful. So we used to do kirtan. He stayed in Melbourne for a while. So we used to go Friday nights, do kirtan. And we're all dancing in front of, they used to have the theatres in Bourke Street, the Bourke Street village cinemas. So we used to line up, all the devotees line up, we'd all dance, Hare Krishna, and you know, Pranav was playing Mridanga, there's like 20 of us. Yeah. And this security guard, he walked over to me, he's the security guard in charge of the theatre, he came over, I was on the end, and he led over to me. He says, I don't know what you guys are on, but I'll have 2 kilograms of it. So I don't know what you're on, but give me 2 kilograms. We're just like, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. It was ecstatic. Just ecstatic. Just dance like mad, like mad. Like madmen. We just dance and dance and dance. Mad. Right, and then we come back. And we go there and get the whole 9 o'clock offering, just eat the whole thing. Right, go and take rest, get up for Mangalati, and then keep on. That's the program. That's Lord Chaitanya's movement. So you have to satisfy your desires. If you don't satisfy, you'll be angry. In Krishna consciousness, you have to take, you know, if you need a bit of extra prasadam, take some extra prasadam. Yeah, because we restrict our sense gratification. So if you need prasadam, take a little bit more. Not too much. Within limits. But, you know, if you need to have a sweet. You know, I remember as a brahmacharya, I used to take these vows. No sweets, only on Sunday. Yeah, and I'd always get to Wednesday. Yeah, never. Thursday sometimes. I think one time I got to Sunday. But, you know, I was like a mental wreck. I was just like this strung out, you know, 20-year-old passionate brahmachari, you know, without any sweets. It's like... intense. We were very intense back then. Actually, the ashram's the best I've ever seen it. Very nice. And a lot of motor goodness in the ashram now. And that's the way it should be. Back when I was there, it was a lot more passion. A lot more Rajagun. You know, we used to do a lot, but it was very passionate. It's more sattvic now. It should be more sattvic. So, you have to satisfy your desires, because you're tatashta. But satisfy them in Krishna. So you need to take some sweets, that's okay. Have a little bit of sweet. Not too much. But satisfy your senses. So, if you don't, you'll become angry, unsatisfied. And it's very hard. You know, if you ever challenge your japa when your mind's unsatisfied? Very hard to focus. You know when you're hungry? You know it's like at 12 o'clock on Janmashtami? You know? Sometimes, you know, you see devotees sometimes 12 o'clock on Janmashtami walking around, it's like, you know. You know, it's not pretty. And when devotees have to fast or, you know, too much austerity is not good. Prabhupada actually said, I was saying this last night in class, Prabhupada said to Umapati Prabhu, one of the first disciples, first 80 devotees to join ISKCON, he said to Umapati Prabhu, he said, not too much sense gratification, not too much renunciation. He said, that is ISKCON. ISKCON is not too much renunciation and it's not too much sense gratification. We're in the middle. And that's how you make advancement in Krishna consciousness, when you're in the middle. And it doesn't matter what ashram you're in. But if you go too much to any extreme, right, you lose your focus. It's hard to meditate on Krishna, to chant the holy name effectively. So you have to have the balance. You know, and that's how you make advancement. Otherwise your mind is disturbed. So it says here that Lord Shiva, he's in charge of anger. Anger's from the mode of goodness. Sorry. Anger's from the mode of... Which one was it?
Ignorance.
From the mode of ignorance, tamagun. That's where anger is coming from. And it's coming from frustrated desire. Right? And then as it says here, it comes out in so many ways. Right? It comes out in your heart, the senses, the air of life, the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, the sun, the moon, and austerity. So anger comes out in all these, manifests in all these different ways. So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to, what do you have to do with anger? What do you do with it? If you want to make advancement, what do you do with your anger? Because we've all got it. What do you do with it? What does Rupa Goswami say in the first verse of the Nectar of Instruction, the Upadeshamrita? Control it. Right? Say, like, I've got my watch in my hand, right? So I can do what I want with it, but it's under control. Yeah, if I want to, like, throw it somewhere, no, I just keep it. Right? And when I need to use it, then, okay, I'll throw it at you. Hey, Sala. So it's like anger's like that. It's like a stick, like a dondo. You see in India? India's so cool. That's why I go there. I just love India. Yeah, the police walk around with sticks. Yeah, they're just standing there. They've got their stick. Yeah, it was like... And they just stand there all day. Well, they got their stick. Yeah. But if you do something, the guy just picks up, hey! Right? And then he puts it down again. That. So that's what anger is. Anger is like it's a utensil, or it's a what's the word? Tool. Yeah, it's like a tool. So you have it. Anger is there. It's in all of us. It's part of God. Krishna has anger. What happens when he gets angry? Grind the stringer, right? He changes into a lion. That's, you know, when God's angry, it's different. It goes on to this other level. Yeah, it's a whole another thing. You know, we've seen it. If you saw Nisringadev, you would. You know, so it's just this other level of anger. But it's in all of us. Anger is part of God's creation. We all have it. But it's just a tool, right, which you carry around as a devotee. And if you need to use it, okay, I bring it out. And you see Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had complete control of his anger. Sometimes Prabhupada becomes so angry, but then next minute he's just normal again. I've seen footage where Prabhupada, he chastises someone and he's just normal. It's just a tool. He picks up, hey, and then... That's it. So we have to learn to control your anger, right? Because if it controls you, you know, you can't make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So Lord Shiva is in control of this. So you can also pray to Lord Shiva, right? As Vaishnavanam, Yatashambhu, you can pray to him. If you've got an anger management problem, you can pray to Lord Shiva, please help me. You're in control of it. Help me. Or you can just chant the Hare Krishna mantra and be happy. Okay. So we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? On what we discussed.
You mentioned Lord Shiva taking ganja.
Yeah. Never heard that?
Can't use because you know that you highly need ganja to poison.
Yeah.
Ganja.
Yeah. Mentions. It is there. It mentions. What is it? That he takes ganja, marijuana. But yeah, it's just because, yeah, he does the whole thing. He puts the ashes on himself and he does the whole thing. Sometimes takes some, you know, marijuana and then like that. But it's not, he doesn't become affected by it. He's attracting all those entities that Prabhupada describes. The hobgoblins, the ghosts. Yeah, they're all hanging out with him all the time. So they're all doing all this crazy stuff. So he takes it. But then he gives like Bhagavatam classes. And purifies everyone. But he doesn't become affected by it. It's not like, you know, all the time he's like, you know, but he doesn't become affected. But it does mention. So, yeah. Circumstances to remove obstacles. That's when you get angry. You know, sometimes you have to remove an obstacle. So you use anger to remove an obstacle. Like, you know, sometimes, yeah, I'm somewhere and the car won't start or something. But you just go, you get angry. And then just power through and remove it and then release it again. You know, and as a senior devotee, sometimes you have to use it to get the junior devotees moving. Sometimes you have to. You have to, hey, get moving. Like that. So, yeah, it's just a tool. That's it. It has its place. Prabhupada was speaking. There's a conversation in India. He was speaking to a Western person. It was a Western person in India. Aid work or something. And the man was saying, he said, I've just read the Bhagavad Gita. And, it's a beautiful book because it teaches you to give up anger. And Prabhupada said, the whole Bhagavad Gita is spoken to make you angry. Prabhupada said, we do not reject anger. It's only used in Krishna. So he said, the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita was to make Arjuna angry. Hanuman was angry. So anger is, it's a tool, that's all. Is that clear? Yeah. Someone had? Yeah.
Does Maya purposely and sneakily target my weaknesses through my insincere moments, which are many?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, she, Maya's like, Prabhupada said, when we preach, if you're preaching to someone, like if you're debating, sometimes people are debating with you. Prabhupada said, you find the weak spot. Prabhupada said, I'm like a karate expert. I find the weak spot and I kick it and kick it and kick it until I go down. Right? And you see Prabhupada when he preached. You know that famous video where he's speaking to that cardinal in France. Right? And you see the video. When I joined, we had a television in Crossways. And they used to play it. It was that video. They just play it over and over again. I've seen it about 90 times. And Prabhupada just hitting this priest. I used to have lunch every day and watch it. Prabhupada just hitting this priest. And Prabhupada said, why do you eat the animals? And the father, at one point in time, he says, that is not important. Prabhupada said, no. Why? It says in your Bible, thou shalt not kill. And he keeps trying to change the subject matter. He says, Swamiji, that is not important. And he goes off and Prabhupada says, no. And Prabhupada just keeps hitting him on the one point, right? And the guy still doesn't get it. He actually, that person who Prabhupada was preaching to, he was found a week later dead. He had a heart attack in a prostitute's bed in France, that particular person. He was a very popular priest at that time. But once again, remember in the class we're saying, too much austerity and too much sense gratification? That's the thing. That's why the priest all in that Catholic church, all this child abuse and everything which is going on at the moment, it's all because it's too much austerity. You know, men need to get married. You know, 99%. You know, there's a few. We bless you. Stay calm. It's okay. You have blessings. But 99%, it's a fact. 99% they need to get married. Right. And that's why they're having problems. And why he has to go with a prostitute. Just have a wife. Have some kids and then, like that. Be a grihastha. But, if you try to be something you're not, what does Krishna say in Gita? It says, michacha. You're pretending. And if you're pretending, how do you go back to Krishna? You can't go back to Krishna unless you're sincere and real. And that's, does that answer your question?
Very nice, thank you.
Okay. Someone put hand up. That requires expertise. You have to learn to remember Krishna all the time. Right? Our guiding principle in our philosophy is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So you have to learn to do that. So it means when you're in the material world, You're walking down Burke Street, you're walking down Swanson Street. Internally, you're absorbed in Krishna. Now, what is the best method we are given to remember Krishna? Kirtaniyaha Sadahari. Right? Always chant. Why do we get into Maya? Because we stop chanting. Prabhupada said, 16 rounds on beads, unlimited rounds off beads. Prabhupada said that. So it means we should be chanting all the time. Why do we do the japa? What's it for? Just to get our tongue going, so the rest of the day we're still doing it. So if you become, if you follow the process properly, eventually you'll begin to remember Krishna. And then whatever circumstance you're in, you'll think of Krishna. And then you remain uncontaminated. But that requires practice. So keep chanting. Become fanatical. Become like this Hare Krishna robot. Okay. But be a bit conscious of the outside world as well. I can tell you many stories, but one good one, I was on Aniruddha Prabhu, myself, and Atul Krishna Prabhu. We were brahmacharis, he was the TP. So we went to India together in 1994. So we flew across to India. So we're on the plane, and Atul, you know Atul, he's coming here in September. He's my best friend. And he was a bit fanatical. He's a little bit fanatical now. Back then he was like fanatical. So we're on the plane, and Aniruddha Prabhu and I were sitting there. And then we're three of us sitting together, and then he went two rows in front because there was no one there to chant his japa, you know, because he had the whole row to himself. And he put on eye patches, and then he was chanting his japa, and Atul's very intense, and he was going like, in the plane, right? So, and you look around, there's people like, you know, like. So Aniruddha Prabhu is sitting next to me, so he leaned over and he said, go and tell Atul to be merciful to us. So I got up and I tapped him on the leg and he pulled up behind his eye patch and he looked at me. And I said, Aniruddha Prabhu, he said, can you please be merciful? And he goes, oh okay. So. So you got to understand, you want people? Do you want people to join this movement? Now, people aren't going to join you. Yeah, you've got to be honest. Yeah, I learned when I was a new devotee. I went to Sydney. I stayed in the Sydney ashram. I was a Melbourne devotee, but I went up there to do Sankirtan. And then I was a new devotee. Ben had been a devotee the first 2 years. So I was very fanatical and very, you know, fixed. So I was waiting outside the Brahmachari ashram, which was in King's Cross, right in the middle of Sydney, like in the busiest area of Sydney. And there was a cafe, and the cafe is just there, a big glass cafe, and there's like 20 people sitting in the cafe, and I'm just walking up and down in front of the cafe with my japa beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You're walking up, then turn around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. And turn around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, you know, and I had my eyes, so I was locked in, I was chanting, and I was like locked in, you know. And then Yashamati Nandan Prabhu, who's a Prabhupada disciple, he came downstairs, we're going out in the Sankirtan again. He came in and he saw me. And he said, Prabhu, and he called me over. And he said, what are you doing? I was like, I'm chanting my japa. And he said, look at the cafe. And look at the cafe, and all these people are going like. You know, it's like, so what is that? Is that preaching or not? You say, I'm chanting the holy name, but you're not preaching. Right, you're going to turn everyone in that cafe off the Hare Krishna movement because they think we're a bunch of crazy people. Like, japa is a private thing. Yeah, so some of you walk up and then I stayed in the caravan park. I've got many stories. I stayed in the caravan park. We were traveling, and I was in the caravan park, and I had one bhakta with me. And he was doing the same thing. He's walking 6 o'clock in the morning, walking through the caravan park, chanting his japa. So, you know, people stay in the caravans looking out the window and just see this guy walking past talking to himself like, Yeah. So they rang the cops. Yeah, because they're children. People didn't want to come outside the caravan. So they are going to knock on the door and open the door of the caravan. We're cooking breakfast and there's like this policeman there and he goes, do you know this guy? I said, yeah. And he said, what's he doing? I said, oh, he's doing this meditation, and I said, I'm sorry, and then, you know. So then he came in, and I said, Prabhu, you know, go and chant, like, walk off somewhere where there's no, you don't chant in front of the caravan at 6 o'clock in the morning, like, you know. People don't understand. That's not preaching. I told you the one, I told a few of you, you know, the one when I was on the roof in Gopal's. Yeah, I'll tell them again. Right? So I was in Gopal's. On the roof, we used to go on the roof, like, because we used to do Sankirtan, we used to go up there and chant our japa. So on the roof, there's like a ledge on the side, and over the ledge is like a 3-story drop. So I thought, you know, so I can chant my japa and I can concentrate, I'll get on the ledge. So I was just walking up and down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. So I'm walking up and down, like, you know, it's a 3-story drop over the edge. But I was thinking, you know, if I do that, then I can't look anywhere. I've just got to concentrate on the holy name. So it's really good. So I was chanting my japa, you know, up and down. And then, you know, after about 20 minutes, there was 2 policemen on the roof. And the policeman goes, hey! And I looked and I said, and he said, what are you doing? He said, get down. So I got down. He said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm meditating on God. And he said, look over the edge. So I look over the edge, and there's 50 people. Yeah, they rang the cops because they said there was 20 cops because every cop in the city came there because they said there's a guy talking to himself, he's going to jump. So that was probably the best japa I ever chanted, right? Because I was just locked in. I was like just chanting the holy name and like I couldn't see anything. I was fixed. I mean, I was in ecstasy. But it was the worst preaching in the world. You know, like in a saffron dhoti, I'm like going up and down, you know. I think I was in a dhoti, but I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. You know, if I saw any of you do that now, I'd beat you. You know, I'd go and get the bamboo out of the back of the ashram. I'm like, wow, what are you doing? Crazy. You don't do like that. So you have to be intelligent. Prabhupada said, preaching means being enthusiastic with intelligence. Right? Not just enthusiastic. Enthusiastic with intelligence. That's preaching. Yeah? If you're not enthusiastic, people won't join. If you're not intelligent, people aren't going to join in. So you have to understand these things. Okay, is it clear? Okay, any other questions?
I'm glad you mentioned this story. Tomorrow morning, I'll be in the airport and
you just chant quietly, like you put your japa beads close to you. You have to learn. You have to learn the art of chanting quietly and softly.
But it's
so
awful.
Yeah, you can cover your mouth. Or you can, you know, be discreet. Like, you know, if I'm on the plane, I look around. And if I see, like, you know, no one's, you know, I can chant my japa softly. Just chant. So, you know, if I see someone's really kind of like looking, then I kind of, you know, try to somehow cover it up a bit.
All 15
rounds
somehow.
What's that?
All 15 rounds somehow hidden. Like,
yeah, well, just, you know, conceal it a little bit, that's all. You can still chant, it's possible. Even when you become a bit advanced, you can just chant in the mind. You understand? It's equally as effective. It said, Haridas Thakur chanted 64 rounds in the mind, 64 rounds softly. And then the final 64 rounds, loud. So you have to learn all 3 types of chanting. It takes time. For a young devotee, it's hard. I know when I was a young devotee, it was like this. I was like a machine. You know, Tulsi was here in the mornings. We'd go around Tulsi. It was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. It was like, just like, you know. You know, that was good. It was a good japa. But, you know, I don't chant like that now. You know, it's like now it's more, you know, internal like that. But previously, you know, you're very intense when you're young. So, but you just have to learn to pacify it a bit. You know, don't turn people off the Hare Krishna movement. You know, what are the Hare Krishnas? Oh, they're the people who are like, you know. Yeah, who's going to join us? Yeah, oh, the food's really good, but. Any Any other question? Come in.
Take it from how does Lord Shiva remove possible?
How does he remove false ego? He's in charge of false ego. So how does he actually do it? He arranges things. He reveals it for you. That's what he does. He reveals it for you. I know myself, because I pray to him every day. And one of my prayers is to Lord Shiva, because he is Gopishwara Mahadev. You can't enter the Rasa Leela without his permission, because he's Gopishwara, he protects it. So every day I pray to him, help me, because my false ego is stopping me from getting into Krishna's association. So when I've been in Vrindavan sometimes, and remember one time, it's a personal thing, I can't tell you all the details, but I went to him and prayed to him, one of his, what are they called? Linga. So I went and prayed to his linga, and then after that, a series of events that happened in the next day totally dismantled my false ego. It showed me so many things which I had to work on. So if you pray to him, he'll remove things and reveal things and show you what you need. So. Vaishnavanam Yatasham. He's the best devotee. So we pray to him to help us. Any other question? Srila Prabhupada ki.